How's it going, folks? Blind Bargains Cast 137. We're recording this around the time of March 12th. It's right before CSUN 2018. And yes, it's the last one before CSUN. So, ready, Joe? You ready for San Diego?
What? Is it over? Have we recorded CSUN?
No. We have not recorded CSUN yet.
Okay. I'm going to take a nap because... Life has been very busy for me.
Well, this podcast will be short.
Think I'll get a lot of sleep on the plane. That's a six-hour flight. So, yeah. CSUN, one whole week away. That is going to be amazing. We're going to have all sorts of vendors and pancakes. Oh, and Shelly will be there.
I still have not had those pancakes. And
yes.
May not this year, but we will see. You guys have some for me.
Our pizza place is, I think, gone. I keep forgetting to check, so it may have to be that. Not that they serve a lot of alcohol at the pancake place.
Yeah, we will have some Prime now. We will have some nice alcohol delivery. So all that stuff will be on its way. CSUN's next week. Yay. Before CSUN, we have a show to do this week. Coming up, we are going to fly. I just want to fly. Well, actually going to fly on Southwest. This was a recording I made back in the Consumer Electronics Show on my way to Las Vegas. I tried out the Southwest Airlines Live TV feature. Let's see how that works, and we'll find out a little bit later in the podcast to help you prepare perhaps for a CSUN. Coming up also later, actually a reference to a question that came in. We have special guest legal correspondent Tim Elder on to answer a question about unemployment.
And, legal correspondent, yes. Who we haven't had on in a while, so that's awesome.
Very cool. Yeah, very cool to have him back on a little bit later on. A tip and a last word and much more as we... put this one in as we're going to phone this one in. No, we're not going to phone this. let's get it out there so we can get ready and get pack up.
And then start packing and start cramming stuff into bags and start flying out so we can get more stuff to put into bags to come home with. So, yeah, that's usually how that happens. But, you know, I thought about phoning this one in, but maybe I just could have dictated the show into a doc instead. Dictation Bridge 1.0 is now officially released. Supporting JAWS, NVDA, and LibreOffice, and some other things. Wow, this is what, almost a year to the day?
Two, actually. I mean, from really? The original, okay. Let's see, the original crowdfunding came out in 2016, semicolon. Okay. I did donate, comma, and I'm very happy I did, period. So, comma.
New line.
New line. Oh, I forgot that. Well, good. Strike that. we did a demo of this way back when. You're gonna make me look up which podcast this was on.
But it was
on an older podcast last year, even earlier. We've been talking about it for a while, but really cool to see another crowdfunding campaign and another open source project come through. First we had NVDA Remote, which I still use and love it, and we have Dictation Bridge, another one. It's cross screen reader compatible. It was supposed to be JAWS, NVDA, and WindowEyes. Well, we know what happened to WindowEyes. So now it's JAWS, NVDA.
That tree got pruned a little bit.
Well, hey, that helped them a little bit. So there you go. But Windows speech recognition is free. NVDA is free. So you can go that route. But if you're a JAWS user, you can go that route. If you have Dragon Dictate, you can use that as well. So there's lots of different ways that you can make this happen. So let us know if you've tried this out. Go get it for free. And you can... maybe you're going to do the next week's show notes of Dictation Bridge. We can try it out and see how it goes.
Oh, yeah. Lucy Greco will be walking on air! ! When we see her next week. So a lot of information coming out all at once in regards to things that are coming up. Further orbit readers, well, this will be an interesting conversation. Seems like they will be coming out in the summer.
Well... okay, so this stuff happens. Yes, so there was a bunch of them released. You remember us talking about the sticky pins and other things that were happening, and pretty much this is resulting in them going back to the manufacturer to get it right. You know, it's unfortunate there's another delay, and I know these things kind of mount up after a while, but, you know, I think this was the right move. Get this stuff worked out.
Launching a new product is hard. Launching new technology is not easy, and... sometimes you have to get outside your initial control group in order to find out whether that's an issue or not. And that's kind of what Buddy was talking about last week. You know, he was looking at a lot of pre-production before that unit goes much wider. So it's new territory for some people. It's not you know, to be fair, HumanWare had the same thing when they changed from BOM to do their own Brilliant Display. These things do happen, and it takes a little bit of time. But once when things get rolling, I'm sure they'll learn a lot from all of this, and it'll be good going forward.
Definitely. Sorry, I was still looking to see which podcast Dictation Bridges. It's Ray. This kind of shows how far back this has been. You know, it has been going on for a minute. No, it's, there it is. 55.
Aha!
And then podcast Words Have Meanings. So there you go.
Oh, what was our lead news story?
82. What was our lead news story? The IDEA Mate Galaxy was launched that week.
Okay.
And there you go.
And we just talked about an update to that not too long ago.
And NFB Open Convention pre-registration. Hey, that just happened again. There you go.
What? Talk about your annual events that are happening before CSUN.
Anyway, yes. NVDA is a new version out. And we kind of alluded to this a little while ago, but now it is out. If you have a new Firefox.
RC status to real status.
Yes.
And NVDA Con, by the time you hear this, you probably won't be able to throw in a conference suggestion, but because I think that closes on the 16th of the 19th. But be prepared. NVDA Con 2018 is already in the planning stage.
I think it's the 19th. So they got a couple of days. If you got this right away, you maybe can do it. Newest NVDA has improvements. You probably with NVDA now can go safely to the Firefox 58, which is the latest. You can get away from the extended support release.
Just in time for 59.
Yep. But even that will be better for you. And by the way, for the JAWS users, I have apparently some changes have been committed, and that update is coming down the pike as well. So not yet for JAWS, but coming soon for if you want to come back to Firefox. Although they lost a few users because of that, and I think a few more blind people picked up Chrome. In the meantime, I still kind of go back and forth between the two.
That permanent websites. Muting feature in Chrome is pretty awesome. I mean, now you can actually read CNET articles.
And Chromecast, of course. You can Chromecast from Chrome, which is great.
That's true.
The other one of the other things, a lot of new Braille updates. We've been seeing a lot of them with NVDA. It's really cool. They've been taking Braille a lot more seriously over the past several releases. The HIMS driver is now one driver. And I've been harping on HIMS for a long time about this. But luckily, all the stars aligned. And now if you have a Braille Edge or a Smart Beetle, it will work a lot more effectively with NVDA. Or if you have a Euro Braille, hey.
Dude,
or some Optilec, or some Optilec displays even. So they've got lots of additional Braille support.
Buddy's there. Alva BC640 ready to go.
It's there.
With daughter board.
If you have an Android phone and you want to learn Braille, hey, this is a Michael Deuce production. Pocket Braille.
I know that guy.
Pocket Stargate Braille. The Pocket Braille is coming to Android, so this is not an APH thing. From the 90s and 80s.
I love the conversation that happened before we started to record. What was it, 87, Patrick said, and updated again in the 90s, the Pocket Braille?
Hello. This is a demonstration of the old APH Pocket Braille. And I'm your host, the Pocket Braille in question.
The Pocket Braille. You have to be a little old. I had one in fifth or sixth grade. It was pretty heavy. And then I got the Braille and Speak, which was obviously the much superior product. And APH recognized this and started selling.
So you lost your Blazy cables.
Yeah. Anyway, we're so good at sidetracking. Pocket Braille is an app to learn Braille and contractions and things like that. So it's out there for Android. It's a beta form at the moment. It's $1.99. Course, he's accepting feedback, and it's our good friend Michael Deuce, who is at iAccessibility1 on Twitter. And you can just search for don't search for Pocket Braille on Google Play. That's silly. Just do it on our site. Just go to the show notes.
There you go.
That's the much easier way.
There you go.
Because when I tried to type in Pocket Braille, what was it that came up? I was telling you it was something weird.
What was it? Run Sausage Run?
Run Sausage Run came up. Yep, there it is.
I have no idea what
Pocket
Braille
Google.
I thought it was like the sequel to Run Lola Run, which was a great film. But you know,
this is why we tell you to go to the show notes, because a lot of this stuff is breaking news and it isn't necessarily very Googleable, if that's a word. There we go.
It should be. It should be if it's not.
Googleable. Money's a word.
Maybe an Urban Dictionary.
How about some money? You want some money, Joe?
Money would be good. I'm spending a lot of money here lately.
You should join.
Doing a lot of traveling. So how can I make a little money up?
You should join the Accessibility User Research Collective, which I have. And I've already done a narrator survey and made $50 playing with narrator for like an hour. That was fun.
Oh, I use narrator.
and I know a couple of Low Vision friends, Joe, that have gotten money. Somebody got $15 for answering like a 30-second question survey. Not, you know, like 30 seconds of surveys. And
do you magnify text? Yes.
Yes. Okay. Here's the Amazon card. They will pay via check, which is obnoxious and slow, or Amazon gift card, which why not? That's what I took.
That's good.
They pay out fast. I did it. And then a few days later, they pay about twice a week and they're very quick on turning these things around. It's kind of an arm of Microsoft doing research for them. And hey, if you're looking for research that actually pays, there you go. There's lots of it out there. And this is one that we can say is legitimately being used. And
Spend money on would be Comcast. Comcast has been making lots of changes to its service. And it seems like they have a very timely announcement, seeing that the Paralympics are currently undergoing their ceremonies while we are recording. And so what has Comcast brought to the table to celebrate accessibility?
Well, so apparently I saw this a little while ago, and it looks like they've now publicly, after some beta or whatever, announced this, but they've been doing some updates to their voice guide. Of course, Comcast, as they claim in their press release, was the first provider to the voice guidance, which now some others have done. But hey,
Open the door to voice services through the cloud. Yeah, that's what I remember.
Well, so now you can adjust the speech rate. That's good, because before it was just one, it was pretty slow. Now you can make it faster. It's still like remote based and everything, but you can make it faster. Now you can also, you know how Comcast has that voice button? You just hold it down and say, ESPN. Now you can hold it down and say accessibility or voice guide, I think, too, and other things like that. So that's good. If you press the B key on the remote, it'll also take you into those menus. So really cool stuff. If you want to learn more about the Comcast voice guide, it hasn't changed too much since this. You can go back to Blind Bargains Cast 4.
Way back when, with Liam.
Yes, with Liam.
Way back when. Google Accessibility sent out a very quick update saying that the support email has changed, that the one that I had sent out earlier is not the one to use. And so we have a link to it in the show notes.
It took out the word external.
Was it disability-support@google.com?
Yeah, no more external, essentially.
You know, we just mentioned Shelley a moment ago. She got a really cool story over at South by Southwest. It really helps to be in a city where lots of things happen. I know, because I used to live in Austin, where, you know, bands play, like Metallica plays some little podunk club that no one would ever go to until they found out through friends outside that Metallica was playing there.
Yeah.
These things can happen in South by Southwest. But there was a lot of information going on about the Kids That Code, the initiative that Apple has been doing to provide people the ability to learn how to do coding, like through Swift language. And Shelley got a great story about this and how it relates to blindness.
Yes, we'll put a link to this. The show is called Texas Standard, and Shelley is, you know, her day job now is producing for a public radio station down there in Austin and sometimes being on the air as well. So really cool stuff, and always cool when you can move accessibility into the mainstream and in front of a whole bunch of ears. So they're very cool.
And a very well-educated ear, because many of us have seen stories about accessibility and cringed and run from the room.
Yes.
When our relatives have sent them to us for approval and or, hey, you're disabled. Aren't you listening or hearing this?
Bill Holton did a nice review of iOS Access for All in the March Access World, which just came out, I believe, today.
What?
Today is recording day. So there you go.
Yeah, it's in recording. Right.
Right. So here, but it just came out this week.
I'll put a link here to Access World right here, right under Shelley's thing, since we're talking about articles and the like. Shelley writes for Access World. Shelley also does coverage with us in San Diego.
Well, I was going to say, there's two ways we can segue to that. And that's one. And then the other one is AFB is once again sponsoring us at CSUN, which is awesome.
What? So. Oh, yes, that's true. Oh, my gosh. I am definitely falling asleep in front of the microphone. There is so much for us to cover. It's going to be very interesting. We already have a lot of people asking us for time and segments. And, of course, the exhibit hall itself is its own character. But we will have a lot of information coming up, including one special that will drop right at the beginning of our CSUN coverage. So you want to stay tuned for that, because one of the things that we did not mention in the news, and you're probably looking at the show notes and going, how could they skipped a big story? No, we didn't skip a big story. One of the big stories, of course, is about the new Horizon glasses for Ira. And we'll actually be talking about that in depth.
Oh, yes.
More information. And then you want to start paying attention because the feed, the way that we do this after, if you're new to the podcast, when we do something big like this kind of an event, we will take a little bit of time off because it takes a lot of power and time and energy and Patrick time to put all this together. So what will happen is an event will come out and then there'll be a little bit of a lag time. It's okay. Like JJ reminded me, it's okay to ask us on Twitter, when is the content coming out? You might not get a direct response,
right?
But you could ask.
It might take a couple of days. We might be able to eke out a couple, depending on, you know, we'll see what we have. Like I said, the Ira thing will be at the beginning. And then, you know, we might be able to sneak one or two out towards the weekend. But remember, we're still there until Friday. And then that weekend, honestly, I'm on the beach. So,
right.
That's where I'm at.
Because I'm not even flying back until like Saturday. And then after Patrick produces the audio, we have to review it to make sure that we have everything and all the contact info right. Spelling everybody's names right. I know that sounds silly, but that's kind of sometimes a big thing if we didn't catch them.
Yes.
So there's a lot of things that go into putting that podcast coverage together.
And the other thing that we've learned lately, and just to give everybody their due and not to throw away all the time that we're spending into this, is instead of pushing about 10 of them on one day, we're kind of staggering them out a little bit more, doing 3 or 4 a day, you know, just to kind of spread it out a little bit. So, you know, you have a little bit of a chance because, you know, if we pushed out 10 of these in a day, you can't listen to them all, or maybe you can, but, you know, we're spreading them out a little bit more just so they all get a little more play and kind of give people a chance to breathe a little bit. So, you know,
some podcast feeders,
subscribe. The best thing to do is to subscribe.
Right. Some podcast feeders only grab the top 3 episodes on an RSS feed. So when you break it out into sometimes 30 podcasts, a lot of content can get lost unless somebody goes back to the site or goes through their directory and finds the episodes they may or may not have missed. So we spread them out a little bit differently. Victor Reader streams are a perfect example of this. It's going to grab those top 3.
Only one I can think of. we should suggest that they should up that to 5 or 10 or something.
So just kind of a little bit of a primer, just so you know, before we get into this, because this is a question that we answer every year.
Subscribe.
About this time,
the best thing you can do. Users. The best thing you do is whether you're on iTunes or whether you're on Podcast Addict or on a, you know, if you're on the stream or the Blaze or whatever, is to subscribe to the podcast because you will get alerted of new episodes. Pretty much all your players have an option that say, I want to subscribe or I want to download. So usually when you subscribe, it won't automatically just download them. So you don't have to worry about eating up all your space. You can kind of still pick and choose. But definitely the best thing to do is subscribe and then you'll see the new ones as they come in and they come in. Throughout the day, usually we'll do 3 or 4 a day. We'll do, you know, like 1 at 10 in the morning and then 1 a few hours later, then 1 in the evening. So
they'll be in the Blind Bargains app, which is good. So you can actually go to the Blind Bargains app and play from the podcast tab or go to the blindbargains.com site where all the podcast show notes will be there at blindbargains.com.
We always link to all the companies that are on as well. So that's a good way if you want to learn more. Now, once in a while, we'll have a company that will have something so new and they won't have anything on their website. We can't do anything about that, but that's on them. But hopefully there'll be something soon. This was just announced at CSUN. But yes, I know we have, landmark. You know, we thought we were done with the year of Braille, but I know we have at least a couple new Braille displays to toss around at CSUN. I just saw that apparently ZoomX is doing a wearable because, hey, that's what everyone's doing. So that's,
That is the new it girl. Yeah, that would be true.
But hey, it gives us an excuse to talk to David Radburn.
They're also, Low Vision International has a U.S. office. Because I saw that when I was going through looking at video magnifiers as LVI has a whole new office and a video magnifier that connects to a Mac or Chromebook. I'm looking super excited looking at that. That's going to be interesting.
Some really cool stuff. So anyway, well, that's CSUN coming up that soon. Let's talk about what's coming up now. We have a lot more coming up now on this episode. Last Word and Tim Elder coming up on podcast 137. All right, we're going to head right into our little feature we're going to do on travel. Yeah, I know we do a lot of travel features because we travel a lot. So we're going to talk a little bit about in-flight entertainment for free, eh? You don't even have to pay for that Wi-Fi On some airlines, there is free TV shows, movies, TV channels that you can watch on demand. I recently flew Southwest, so let's jump into a little bit of how that worked out. A lot of you might be traveling to the CSUN conference in San Diego, or perhaps is traveling somewhere else. Maybe you're doing convention a little bit later on. Well, one of the things that you can do while traveling, especially on a longer flight, one with Wi-Fi and things like that, is do in-flight entertainment. For many flights in the past, especially, it's been on these nice little touchscreen systems where you can't really access them. Maybe there's buttons for some things, but generally, you can't access them. Well, I thought I'd check out in 2018 and see how this maybe has changed, perhaps for the better. I recently took Southwest to the Consumer Electronics Show a couple months ago, and I fired up the Southwest in-flight entertainment. Now, of course, I didn't record myself then, but I recorded my laptop. So what we'll do is we're going to roll this track, and I'll kind of narrate along as this thing goes along. So before we even get going, let me just point out some of the free stuff you can do here. We go. We're on the Southwest Wi-Fi.
Menu button collapse submenu. Visited link. Menu button collapse submenu. Link 1 hour 14M. Link time to destination. Link progress star 68. Link MDW. Link 356 PM loss. Link flight tracker. Link arrivals and connections. Menu button collapse submenu loss. Menu button collapse submenu star. Menu button collapse submenu man. Menu button collapse submenu 52 degrees F. Menu button expanded submenu TV.
And what you notice there is, well, first of all, you get the flight information, time to destination, 1 hour and 14 left or so. The current temperature for where you're headed, usually the flight number. Sometimes if you want to keep going down, it'll show you the altitude, it'll show you the speed, it'll show you things like that. You can also often get on the airline websites, and this could all be done for free. So you don't have to pay for the Wi-Fi to get on the Southwest Wi-Fi or Gogo in-flight on most other carriers. So really cool if you have a connecting flight. If you want to check that status of that flight before you land, you can get on the Wi-Fi. And, of course, you have to do it before you go below 10,000 feet or they're going to cut you off in most cases. At least on computers, you have to put your laptop away anyway. But you can check your connecting flight, see if it's still happening, see if anything else is going on. Hey, you can book your next ticket if you want to do that. And you can book your next flight and travel even more. Why not? Sometimes there's also other free websites that you can visit. For instance, Amazon is sometimes free on planes. It's the modern Skywall, if you will, right? And you can go on there and you can do some shopping and buy all sorts of stuff. I didn't do that. I wanted to watch some free TV. So let's go back to the clip and see how we're going to try to do some live TV on Southwest.
Visit the live TV guide.
There's a link here. There you go. Live TV guide. Which brings up a new page.
Land. Button start playback. Powered by. Graphic logo dish. Button.
There you go. Powered by Dish Network. So here's our grid. The times. But here we go. Notice this.
DR. Phil Judge. Judy Judge. Judy. CBS 2 News at 5 p.m. CBS 2 News at 6 p.m.
Whoa. That's the entire channel, and it's reading all the way across. It's also not telling you which channel it is. You kind of have to know which channel you're referring to. And some of them are giveaway, and some of them maybe not so much, depending on how much you watch cable. Okay, there's ESPN.
Shows Matt Nagy. And I understand his.
And I pressed enter on that, and it brought up ESPN. Now, notice part of the interruption was actually the second thing in that row, where College Day Game Day was the first thing. So it's not even the current show is not even the first thing in the row. It's actually previous stuff on the grid.
Playoff national champion.
You can arrow to different channels. There's another ESPN. CNN Newsroom.
Build that wall. What's remarkable is that we are talking about
with Chris Silva.
Although I'm with Dana, Republicans are crazy about this, but the potential of a government shutdown.
Oh, yeah. Government shutdown. Well, this was actually from a few weeks ago, as you know. But there you go. So there you go. Thumbing through some live channels, and you can listen to live programming. Like I said, it's not saying the channel name. That's a bit of a problem. There aren't a lot of controls once you have that channel. Say volume controls would be nice to maybe lower it a little bit so you could do other stuff. Maybe 20 or 30 channels there. And I'm doing this on a Windows computer with NVDA and Firefox. So I couldn't speak to the viability of other screen reader and browser combinations. They also have on-demand titles, and this is a little more tricky, as I found out here.
Menu button, collect, menu button, menu, visit, link, live, link, The Big Bang Theory, watch instantly, 90, link, graphic, Disney Park, link, Disney
okay.
Parks, link,
graphic, can watch the Big Bang Theory,
link, graphic, Southwest, the channel, link, Southwest, the channel, stories from the heart, link, graphic,
stories link, from the heart, look at that,
watch instantly on select browser,
Deadliest Catch,
The Big Bang Theory, link, friends, link,
friends.
MR Robot Link.
Mr. Robot?
$1 million listing, Los Angeles
million,
link.
Million dollar listing. Oh, there's Suits. Okay. So we're going to try to watch an episode of Suits. I hand around that.
Mike contemplates a deal that could reduce his sentence. Jessica and Louis take differing approaches to dealing with their new tenants. Rachel begins representing a death row inmate. Please note that this offering may contain content not suitable for children.
Approach, oh, good. Term. Those are the best kinds of shows.
Suits. Term. Mike.
Approach, so as you're going to notice, it's a little bit tricky episode. Trying to figure out what term. You actually term. Have to do to term. Get the episode to play. I tried hitting enter on the thing. Episode. I'm going to try routing my mouse cursor to the episode and see if that's the way to go.
Left click. Episodes. TV menu.
Didn't exactly work either. Eventually, and I don't really know exactly how I ended up here, I end up on a test video, which is going to allow me apparently to continue. There it is. And I think sometimes it's just with the internet, it takes a little while for these things to load. So this is not Suits.
Video player. Devices compatible before continuing. Video player. Video player. Devices compatible. Not all browsers or devices are compatible. Please play the sample video below.
Not all browser devices are compatible. This one obviously is. It's playing it.
Behind every scene is a story.
Behind every story is the reason for transparency.
Okay, Southwest, you owe us some money now for that free advertising.
Device compatibility check. Separator. Graphic fake video player.
Fake video player.
Yes. Link E.
Then it's asking if you heard the sample. We did. So we're going to hit yes, and we did. It brings us back to the main screen, and then we're going to have to go back to the on-demand and pick Suits again and pick the episode and hope it works.
Million, no next heading. People, MR, friends, link, the Big Bang, Suits, visit, link, graphic, link, the Big Bang Theory, link, graphic, the Big Bang, visit, link, Suits.
You see, it's not the most intuitive thing, right? It's one of those things you would call somewhat usable. You certainly wouldn't call it accessible. It certainly doesn't pass all the tests for web accessibility. But eventually, we hit enter on the episode, and hope it's going to come up here. Remember, these things are a little slow sometimes.
Previously on Suits.
But hey!
Rachel, it's Professor Dunbar.
I was wondering if you'd be interested in helping me with the innocent project.
So what I'm looking for here is video controls, you know, rewind and fast forward and pause volume, and not finding them. Much to my disappointment, but at least I can listen to it.
One-on-one, you got it.
You pretty much have it how it is. You know, if you wanted to go to the bathroom, if you wanted to do anything else, well, tough. But there it is. Various shows, and they're for free, at least on this flight, at least the ones I was looking at on Southwest. Now, some things to consider. They have mobile apps. I have not tested the mobile apps, but they also say that you have to a lot of times get these mobile apps before the flight. It's kind of counterintuitive. You'd think you'd kind of load it on the plane so they could download it. You could download the app. No, a lot of times you have to go to iTunes or to Google Play to get these apps. You can't just load them on the plane. Of course, they could open this up, but they've chosen not to. So if you want the mobile app version of this, which may or may not even be accessible, but if you want to try it, download it first. Other airlines are the same situation. Some have websites and some have apps. So I was on American pretty recently. Very similar situation. Lots of finagling, trying to figure out, do I click on this graphic, this one? There's not obvious buttons to say watch now or, you know, listen to this broadcast or watch this broadcast. A little unfortunate. Obviously, it's not a high priority for them for accessibility, and it probably wouldn't be until it becomes the law. Now, there's a couple airlines that are doing this, especially in international countries. I think we talked about the airline over in Turkey that is actually doing accessible content or renting out iPads and things like that, which is really cool. So you can use that to listen to or watch content accessibly. Really cool. Maybe we can see some more airlines jump on that bandwagon in the future. It'd be really cool, especially as you have more things like live TV offerings and things like that. So a little bit of playing around with the live TV and on-demand TV on Southwest, the Love airline, right? That's what they are. So you can let us know next time you travel. Try it out for yourself, whether you're on Southwest or another carrier, whether it's in the U.S. or internationally. Let us know at feedback@blindbargains.com how you get on, and let us know what might or might not be accessible to you on your airline, and we'll kind of keep updating these things as they go along. Of course, audio description would be nice too, wouldn't it? But alas, nothing, at least here in the U.S. so far.
You're listening to the Blind Bargains Cast.
Blind Bargains Cast. Blind Bargains Cast.
You may have been already spammed with Google's love for audiobooks. That's right. Audiobooks are now available in the Google Play Store. I got one of those emails and it said, do you want a free audiobook? And I was like, well, yeah. And so I grabbed an audiobook.
Yeah? What was the free book? Or did you get to pick one?
Star Wars Aftermath. So the Star Wars prequel trilogy that kind of sort of happens between episode 6 and 7. It's three books by Chuck Wendig, and they are fast food for the ears. It is something that I just need to read when I'm not doing my side project as well as the show. So this is perfect. It's just I can just read it and then keep walking and not have to think about anything major because the plot is not, well, it's not Shakespeare. The audio, though, is really good, and the interface works with VoiceOver and Android. And if you are a part of the Google ecosystem, as far as Google Home and Chromecast is concerned, you can turn around and say the trigger word, Google, and then play my book, and Google Home will play the audio book. And better yet, you can hit pause or stop and pick it up on another device. So if you're traveling and you're on an iPhone or your Android phone, and then you come home and you want to like cook in the kitchen and read your book, you can actually just say, play my book, and it'll pick up where you left off. Even so much so that if you were further along in the Google Home version when you're playing it, and then you launch the iOS one, it'll say, you know, you're about 3 hours ahead on another device. Do you want me to just fast forward to where you left off?
Oh, it's perfect. Of course, it's syncing up to your Google account. Now, the one question I have, because Amazon does this, and maybe they just haven't added it yet. Amazon has is it WhisperCast? Is that what they call that?
Yeah, where you could go back and forth and whisper it down.
If you have a Kindle book, and then you get the audio of the same, then you can kind of go back and forth between the two.
I have looked far enough to see if that interaction is available, but it certainly could at some point because there is, you know, print version,
trademarked or patented type technology.
It is entirely possible that it is kind of sort of belonging all to the Amazon, but it is still kind of nice to be able to have something similar to what Echo has in this ability to be able to, and a free book. And I bought the book, then they turned around and sent me another email that said, hey, how'd you like to buy your next book half off? And I was like, well, yeah, there are three books in this trilogy. That works out great. And Google Play, especially, to get you to try a lot of that stuff. So if you if you bought something before or played with it before, chances are you're going to get another email where it says, if you like this, you might like that.
And for those of you thinking, you mentioned Google. Google is not just Android. Google, unlike Apple, has pretty much all their apps on both platforms. So you can do this on your iOS device. You don't have to use iBooks. You can do it through the Google Audiobook service. And is that through
full disclosure, I'm mostly doing this on my iPhone and then going over to my Google Home and occasionally doing it on my Android phone just to play around with.
Is that the Google Play Books app? Is that the one you get?
Yeah.
Okay.
In iOS.
So you don't need a
It's pretty minimal. It's not super crazy.
Well, there you go. Send your tip to feedback@blindbargains.com.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback@blindbargains.com or tweet us @blindbargains.
Yes, sound off, folks. And, you know, we have a special one here. This is really cool. We have a lot of questions that come in about jobs and accommodations and things like that. Probably a very common question. And we brought in someone familiar to many of you to answer one of those questions. Well, he just introduces himself and takes care of the whole thing. So roll the clip.
Hey, JJ, Joe, and everyone in Blind Bargains podcast land. This is Tim Elder, attorney at TRE Legal Practice. That's www.trelegal.com and @TRE Legal on Twitter. Your honorary guest legal correspondent here on Blind Bargains, JJ and Joe, sent me the following email from someone who wrote into the podcast. And because I see this question so often and see so much confusion around the rights of employees to reasonable accommodations, thought I would take the time to answer this question on the podcast. But before we get into the email from, we'll call her Sally, what presentation from a lawyer wouldn't be complete without the official disclaimer? Nothing stated on this podcast constitutes legal advice or the practice of law. Nor does continuing to listen to this broadcast form an attorney-client relationship with you, an attorney, or attorney's associates. Before relying on any information in this podcast. Okay, legally is blah, 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 blah. All right, Sally writes in and she says by email, I have a job where I must process cases. I take applications that customers fill out online and load that information into a case record. And then I determine eligibility. Sometimes there are images in the case record that I cannot read with JAWS or OCR, so I can figure out eligibility. Paying for a reader is practically impossible, even with reimbursement. First, I have to pay an amount over what the employer is willing to reimburse. The employer has already spent a lot of money on me, and they say they don't want to lose me. Am I right in saying that they should have to pay the cost outright for the reader, or two, they must reimburse at the full rate for the reader? And then Sally also goes on to ask about agencies that might pay for the cost of a reader. Great question, Sally, and thank you for sending in this email. I have truncated it a little bit and cleaned it up for clarity. But so the first question, is a human reader a reasonable accommodation on the job? And I would say in most cases, absolutely. It's listed in the regulations under Title I of the Americans with Disabilities Act. Human readers, screen reading, accessible documents. I mean, these are all like sort of well-known reasonable accommodations. The way that you appear to be using it seems to make sense. You're not asking the reader to do the job for you and eliminate an essential function. You are making the eligibility determination, and you're just using the reader to access the information in the inaccessible image, and then you use your professional judgment to actually do the work. Sounds like a reasonable accommodation to me. Then you move to the second step, which is where your email gets a little bit more interesting, right? Does the employer still have to provide this, you know, and what about the cost factor, right? The undue hardship to the employer, right? That's the second step of the analysis. A lot of employees and even a lot of HR people, right, sort of think like, well, look, if I have a low-wage part-time worker, right, let's say at McDonald's, and they need a $60,000 accessible cash register to do the job, is it really reasonable for me to provide that accommodation given the value of this overall employee? The legal answer is actually, no, that's not how you look at it. It is not a cost-benefit balance. It is a cost-resource balance. And so if you look at all of the assets and the resources available to the employer, maybe it's a large corporation, right? Maybe it's something super small. But you say, would it be an undue hardship, right, to make this business pay for this expense when you can factor in all of the other resources that it has, right? Assuming your employer is pretty large and sophisticated, they do have to pay for a reader to help you do the job. You don't necessarily get to pick your reader. Raises some interesting issues of, you know, might you use like the IRA service or something, right? Like where you've got a reader on demand, where the employer actually contracts with IRA to get the privacy and then to have them sort of under their umbrella. And then you use IRA as the reader, but then you don't always get to pick, right? They might have someone sitting around the office all day that they're more than happy to have act as a reader. And in which case, as long as it's effective, that might be the reader that you get. But you shouldn't be paying for this out of your pocket. And then finally, you ask, is there an agency or someone that could answer this question about paying for human readers? And yes, I mean, sure, you could ask Department of Rehabilitation to pay for the cost of the reader. It arguably, right, could be used to make sure you retain your current vocational position. But look, let's be honest, right? Department of Rehab is slow as molasses most times. I hope that answers your question, and I hope it answers a lot of questions about reasonable accommodations. It's not a cost benefit. My name's Tim Elder, TRElegal.com. Thanks, guys. Look forward to the podcast.
Very cool. Thank you so much, Tim. I love his legal disclaimer. That was very interesting there as well, but there we go. Some very sound advice on accommodations, and I that's why Absolutely. We turned to him when as soon as that email came
I,
in.
I was going like, to say, yeah. I only get to pretend that I know some things about the law. I'm like,
Tim, please, we need you. Yeah, we really need someone who knows this
better
well.
Person to answer that question than yes. these two, you know, bozos. The question came in. Right at the time of recording from Ms. Armstrong, so thank you for sending that along. about is there a place or can we recommend Windows Store apps that are friendly to various screen readers and the like? And this is where I turn to the community and say, hey, if you ever wanted to run a site like AppleVis or Inclusive Android, now is the time. Yeah, quick, hurry up, go to your,
are there many?
Go
so
to your registration.
Accessible Windows 10 apps, like, I mean, I'm curious there's what tools
there's an accessibility tag that says, is this accessible, yes or no?
So I've developers can make their apps accessible to some extent, right? Obviously, KNFB Reader is one example of a Windows 10 app that is accessible.
Interpretation? Yeah.
Right. But, you know, I really haven't. Apparently, I just saw Slack, who been taking a long time, but it finally seems to be making some updates. I've noticed the Slack web interface has gotten some
really picky with me on Twitter the other day about that, where I had said that they'd slowed down and they went, oh yeah? Where? Here's a phone number, call us.
They had, but apparently, I mean, it took a while, but it looks like their website's a lot better and they say their Windows app is now, so I need to go get that and I'll try that out and see how it's looking. So, you know, there are some that are out there. It's a pretty new category for us, right? People are playing
around with TeamTalk. You have to use Skype that way now, pretty much.
I'm still holding on to the old one for the moment. Yeah. Seal on that last.
Hold on to those executables.
Right. Oldversion.com.
It's so true. I haven't thought of that in years. The thing I would suggest is that look for your free apps first, which you can sort the Windows Store by free. So you can look and see what's available if you just want to play around. Read reviews, of course, in there to see if there's somebody who had put that information in there. Maybe somebody else had the same situation that you were in and needed that app, might have actually reviewed it for that reason. Social media is also your good ask place. So if you have a good echo chamber on Facebook or Twitter, that's a good place to ask, because even if you don't, somebody might retweet you asking that question and it might reach far and wide. The answer, my friends, is definitely not necessarily in the wind. Where I'm going with that is this. It's hard to say, because even iOS and Android apps lose their accessible flavor from time to time through updates. It is always like catching sand in a colander. So I can't say definitively that something will work, because inevitably something breaks it and it doesn't. So it was the style at the time in which something might or might not work. And then again, we're about to see an update. The Spring Creators update is right around the corner. So the way that those apps are going to be used with, say, Narrator, and this is my other little pet peeve, and I'll get off my soapbox and go back to sleep. The word accessibility does not belong to us. So when you say, does it work with blank? Is it accessible blank? Yes, with screen magnification, a lot of things are accessible. So try and say, does it work with Narrator? Does it work with speech? Does it work with JAWS? Does it work with NVDA? That helps a great deal, because in universal app terms, all three of those approach universal Windows apps a little differently in how they're doing things. I'd like to say that it works universally, but no.
Reminds me of searching for the term accessibility on the CES thing, and there's many different interpretations of that. So
yeah, very, very much so, because, you know, switch access, hearing aids, you know, does it work with pointer and eye gaze? That's one of the things that we do in the community, and it's easy to do. So I'm not necessarily saying, you know, laziness or any silly thing like that. What I'm just saying is that most people have a tendency to apply that term pretty broadly, and that's not necessarily what we need to do. That's why when you read my tweet feed, you see me say, is it voiceover friendly? Is it speech friendly? Or is it screen magnification friendly? Because I don't assign necessarily a product to it, because I don't know what product might work best. Somebody might, if I had said just JAWS, right, then no, but it works with NVDA. Okay, well, cool. I got my answer. But some people might just answer, does it work with JAWS? And you'll get back, no, it doesn't. So you got to cast a wide net. That's how you do these things.
One more on Twitter. How do you pronounce that? It's Jan Brown. It's at Mando Janny. Okay. Writes in on Twitter at Blind Bargains. Does Orbit Reader allow for Braille input or simply reading? Yes, you can do Braille input on the Orbit 20. And you can type stuff in Braille or print. Now, it doesn't have an onboard back translator. So if you were to type into Braille, for instance, you're going to be reading it back in Braille. And pretty much as it is, you know, it's going to be one of those deals where it's just going to take your typing as you type it, right? So at least as it is at the moment on the Orbit, that's how it is. You can bring it into a computer, but then you're going to need to use some sort of software to translate that into print if you want to translate that back into print. Now, if you're just doing notes for yourself, and it's awesome, and you're not trying to send it to anybody else, you know, or of course you can type in grade one or computer braille or whatever you want to do it that way.
That can be the big difference between a traditional note taker and mm-hmm. a braille display that has light note taking abilities.
Sure. But hey, you know what? Simple note taking, which is I think what a lot of people are looking for in these things. Yes, it does do that. So there you go. Thank you so much for writing us on Twitter at Blind Bargains. I have no idea what this is. I went to a silent disco
since you're traveling a lot more and you would know the club scene better than I, and I'm older now and settling down, got a fiance, raising a kid. You know, I don't do this kind of stuff anymore, but I thought for sure you would be able to tell me what a silent disco was.
A silent disco. I know what disco fries are. Uh-huh.
So this is an article
I don't think anyone my age or younger calls it a disco. For one, it's a club.
Sure. Yeah.
What are you telling me?
50 Cent reminded me of that.
The disco.
This is
Inferno?
An article that I've had for a couple of weeks that I've been sitting on waiting for a last word to roll this in. Apparently, this is a thing where you go and dance to dance music with FM transmitters that have like three channels and they have three different DJs playing different music on three different channels. And everybody dances, but there's no music playing other than through the transmitters to your earbuds.
There's more than one channel, so you might not be dancing to the same song as your neighbor.
Same thing, yes. I thought that too. It was
baby. No. Channel 2.
No. Channel 2. Channel 2. Go to channel 2. I love this song. Go to channel 3. The logistics of this fascinated me. This was like, what?
And then you want to bring some sort of transmitter and like override the signal. And take it over. Improv Everywhere, which we may have mentioned a time or two, I love those guys, does a thing every year called the MP3 experiment, which is an MP3 that has different instructions for people to act out. And what they're doing is you're listening to the MP3 over headphones, and there's hundreds of you or whatever doing this all over, you know, in New York or in an area. And but no one else can, you know, you're on headphones. So the onlookers are like, oh my God, what are all these people doing this thing at the same time? But, you know, it's all on headphones, so they're just listening to it themselves. So it's kind of the silent, what your world and the outside world are a little different, right?
Yeah.
You can have your own disco in your mind.
Yeah,
disco in your mind. That. And then you can have a burger. Wait a minute, we just did this, didn't we? Flippy.
What's that?
Flippy the robot.
Yeah, you did Flippy.
Flippy the robot hamburger. Did you see what came through about 4 minutes after we recorded last week?
Huh.
True to just, you know, just like a real human, Flippy is taking a 4-day break.
Oh no. Flippy couldn't take it anymore.
Right. It turns out that they had to go retool things and do some updates with the software. And then after they do all that,
Flippy
they're gonna
bring flipping burgers at people. Just like had a complete meltdown. Yeah.
This is a robot that's supposed to be flipping burgers at automatically at a fast food place, perhaps replacing people.
Couldn't handle the veggie burger.
No, it couldn't handle the volume. And then they're going to bring it back.
That's even worse.
But they're going to bring it back now, but only for lunch from 11 to 2. So it is like your average like college worker.
So now he's filling in the shifts that they can't fill. Oh, that is great.
They need Flippy the human resources bot that will like go through and look at the calendar. Like, oh wait, can I switch with you?
I see you have tomorrow 7 to 9. Would you take Sunday noon to 3 instead?
This is why you have to watch Rick and Morty. I have a T-shirt of this, the butter robot, where Rick creates a robot and it goes, "What is my purpose?" And he goes, "To pass the butter." That's all it is the butter passing robot. And it asks him again, "What is my purpose?" "To pass the butter." And he's like, oh my God. It has this moment of realization that that's all its existence is to pass butter. And it took on a life of its own. Some people at BattleBots or one of those battle competitions built the butter robot. But I have a T-shirt that says, "What is my existence?" And it's awesome. Poor Flippy. I understand.
Yeah, well,
understand
but it's in California, but not near San Diego. It's not close enough for us to go check out while we're going to be at CSUN. No. I know. I mean, it'd be a bit of a drive if you really want to go up there.
So is that wrestling-themed restaurant where you can actually go and sit at the table that has like the four turnstiles and the ropes.
You gave me some sad news last week before we came on. The pizza place that we went to last year had a really fun time at Flour and Barley. Only opened for 2 years and already closed. Very sad. Because out of all the stuff at the headquarters, that was my favorite place.
That was great. That was much better than the little carnito tacos that like go right down my arm every time I go to eat one of those. They just, I need to get more napkins, more napkins. There is a couple of places over there, but we will talk about that because we are going to one or two parties in that particular area and going to meet and talk to a lot of people. Maybe Microsoft even party, you, if you're in the area.
Microsoft party, Ira party for explorers only, which I am one, so I'm going to go to that. So some cool stuff.
Well, you tell me and let me know how that goes.
I will let you know how that goes. And well, you know,
they only send the instructions to those of you who have subscriptions. So you have to find out how to walk there from your agent. Is that how that goes?
You can sign up for a minute.
Well, I almost did it. I know something that I can't talk about. Almost said it right there. So, stay tuned to blindbargains.com to find out what I'm not saying, because there's some information coming from that particular.
CSUN 2018. It is our ninth year covering CSUN, and really cool, really happy to be doing that. Once again, we've grown our coverage over time, and we really appreciate everyone who supported it. It's some of our most listened to audio of the year. So thank you so much again. Subscribe to the podcast. That's the best way to keep in touch. You can also follow us on Twitter at Blind Bargains. As the new ones get posted, they will get posted there as well. And you can, of course, subscribe there. Feedback at blindbargains.com if you want to comment on any things that you hear about CSUN. And of course, as that's all done, it'll be sometime beginning of April, there'll be a wrap-up show for CSUN, which so the last
that is tradition.
Gasp.
That is yes, straight up.
That will
tradition.
Definitely happen. So. And we will see who we can wrangle in. But I know, you know, Shelly is going and Chansey is going and other people are going. So we have plenty of people to pick from. So we will see what we can do. And if you follow
all those people, plus Ricky and Patrick and others on Twitter and myself, of course, Ranger Station, all one word, twitter.com/RangerStation, you'll get some interesting crosstalk like where are you at, or where's the good party, or I'm down here by the coffee bar. Sometimes public conversation will happen and you can feel like you're really there in the very expensive hotel.
You got the hashtag,
hotel.
Right? Hashtag CSUNATC.
No, I'm not using all those letters. But
1-8.
What? No.
But that's the one you want to follow.
90125 AEIOU.
Do the old school CSUN18 too. I'm sure some people will still be using that one. So now you kind of have to follow them both. But if you want to follow people, especially during presentations, and sometimes a lot of cool stuff comes out at presentations that we don't always get the chance to go to, follow those hashtags, and that's how you can do some
totally.
Of that.
Next year, it's going to be Anaheim CSUN. Hashtag Anaheim CSUN.
Yes, at the Anaheim Marriott, so the last San Diego. So lots. Of, this is the last NFB in Orlando. It's the last CSUN in San Diego. You know, we're in a lot of different venues next year. I'm already figuring out how I can get some Marriott points or status and get ready to go.
I've got my card somewhere. I'll have to dig that up. That's one of the ones that I've actually used to stay expired. At Courtyards a lot when I work for the state.
Hope you didn't
so
lose all
anyway,
your...
it's going to be a while before you hear us again, but don't forget, you can always write us at feedback@blindbargains.com.
It's pretty much normal because this is going to come out this weekend and then the thing with fire will be after that. So it's not as long as you think, Joe. It's really next week.
I want to go to sleep. So, yes, it's going to be a while.
You say it's going to be a while. It really isn't going to be a while. That's going to be out just a few days after the show.
It's going to be so much work between now and then. Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening, Patrick. Thanks for making this sound much better than we actually are.
And thank you to Tim Elder. So, man, we got to go. I'm off to the Blind Bargains Slack. And Joe is off to just Slack.
I'm off to the Blind Bargains Slab. Good night, everybody.
See ya.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2018.